Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500.
Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen ad-free.
From Wondery. How are you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm doing good, Justin. How are you today?
I'm all right. We're recording in the middle of the day today, and it's sort of nice because the sun's out. I just did guest spot or a cameo on Swindled, the Bishop episode. Check that out. And if anyone can guess the part I'm doing, let us know.
And I was also recently on another podcast, so if you would like to check that out, I was on It's Frightful. The episode I'm on is I'm Related to a Serial Killer.
Tonight's case is an interesting one. Honestly, I can look at this with a legal eye. I can look at this with an emotional eye. I can analyze all the evidence and come to different conclusions. But it's definitely one that'll make you think. And with that, what are we talking about tonight, Aaron?
Tonight, we're talking about an incident that happened at Bunkin's Junction in Newfoundland, Canada. The people we're talking about are Mark and Mary Beth Harshbarger. These were people that were probably made for each other in a way because they were both very much into the outdoors and hunting. So when you talk about couples that hunt together, stay together, that kind of funny thing, well, that was this couple.
They would hunt deer. They would hunt all kinds of animals. But on this day, they were hunting black bear. It was September 14th, 2006. As you said, they were up in Canada, and her husband and a hunting guide had gone out into the woods to flush out a bear. While Mary Beth waited, gun at the ready, she saw motion in the woods and in tall grass, and she took her shot. But instead of a bear, she shot her husband.
And that's why we're discussing this, because the question would be, did she do this on purpose, or was this a careless mistake?
And there's a lot of debate on the internet. There is a lot of people that absolutely believe she planned this and had every intent of murdering her husband. So we got to back up in the story a little bit talk about how these two people ended up in this situation. And hopefully that'll give our audience enough evidence and information for them to decide for themselves. So let's talk about Mary Beth. She was born February 19th, 1965 in Pennsylvania. She had her daughter before she had met Mark. Her name was Heather Kittner. Mary Beth had dark hair, dark eyes, and people said that she had somewhat of a short fuse, and she was extremely competitive. One of her former associates called her the intimidating person she seemed to need to be. So she would rise to the occasion, whether it would be get into your face or just try harder and be competitive.
She met Mark, her husband, in 2000 when she was 35 and he was 36. They actually met at a school because she was helping her dad clear scrap metal and Mark was there clearing out asbestos.
So they were on a construction job renovating this school. Yeah.
So it's just a day after they meet that they go fishing together on their lunch break and they never separated. Mark was in a relationship at the time, but he was really crazy about Mary because she just seemed to be the perfect fit. She started hunting when she was 12 and was a very good shot, and she loved fishing. So this is just what he was looking for. It was one of those things where someone says, this person's not only my wife, but they're my best friend. They can do whatever together. Mark was born October 11th, 1963, and graduated in school in 81. He was a member of the wrestling team that was highly touted back then in Pennsylvania State.
So you have two very competitive personalities coming together here.
That's what it sounds like, for sure. He was also a member of the Franklin Lodge in Lacyville, Pennsylvania. But he and Mary lived in Meshopin, and it's kind of a small town. I mean, my understanding was it had hundreds of residents. But again, spare time, they enjoyed hanging out with their kids and going outdoors. Mark and Mary had two children together, Elijah James and Myra Lee. In 2006, Elijah was 8 months and Myra Lee was 4.
Now, at this time, Mary Beth had struggled with depression, bipolar, and she was being medicated for that. But when she became pregnant with Mark's children, she stopped the medication because she didn't want to hurt the baby.
And there are some incidents that occurred because of her struggles. And we can talk a bit about those, but I do feel like we need to take this story on its own merits. I would say pay special attention to the details of the day of the shooting. So let's go back to this shooting, Justin, because we already talked about how this couple seemed to be a great fit. There were three kids because, well, Mary brought a kid into the relationship, and then they had two more together. They live in Pennsylvania, and they can certainly hunt there, but Mary really wanted to go to Canada to hunt moose and bear. And the area, what we were talking about, Buchan's Junction, is apparently gorgeous. So this was kind of a big trip, and it would cost probably about $10,000 to make it happen.
And at the time, weren't they trying to build a house together?
Yes, they had a lot of expenses going on. And so they had family members telling them, that's a lot of money going out the door right now. Are you sure this is the right time to go on a hunting trip? But that's what Mary Beth wanted. You know, while Mark had his reservations, well, this is his wife asking. And so one of the things she did to help convince him was she contacted the owner of Moosehead Lodge to lower the pricing. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, if you stay in your own camper and cook your own food, I'll drop the price. So she got kind of a deal on the trip. And so Mark said, okay, let's do it.
I don't know that much about hunting, Aaron. I've never hunted wild animals or game myself, but Mary Beth is with the kids in the Chevy truck. And they're up there with Mark's brother, Barry, who is in a hunting blind that's somewhere else around looking for bear, looking for anything that they're hunting.
Yeah, they're basically looking for moose or bear at the time.
And her husband, Mark, he's gone out with their guide to kind of flush out the bear and either get that bear to run in front of Mary or in front of his brother that's hunting in the blind. So Mark is out there with the guide, and they're trying to get these bears to move so somebody can get a good shot. So, Aaron, it's 7:55 p.m., and it's after sunset, and it's right before you have to stop hunting. Like, there's a, you know, a cutoff, I guess. And Mary Beth has her rifle, and she's looking out. It's about 75 yards away, and she is using a scope. But again, it's dark. She says she sees something, a dark figure, something moving through the woods. She pulled the trigger, and she shot center of mass, like you're trained, heard a scream. And at that point, she said she knew it was Mark that she had killed. And she started screaming, "I killed my love. I killed my love." And the children are hysterical. She's screaming. She's put the gun down. Mark's brother, Barry, came running out from his blind to see what had happened. This all goes down within just a few minutes.
The shot that killed her husband went through his sternum and went out through his shoulder blade. Apparently, it had exploded both his heart and his spine. Remember, these shots normally are good enough to take out bear.
It's a very high-powered rifle, high-powered round, and getting hit with something like this, unless you get hit in the arm, which it would probably take your arm off, you're going to die. And I'm surprised that she heard a scream from Mark, because he essentially would have died instantly.
Remember, there are other witnesses there. So it's just evidence that he did die almost immediately. She can say, "I heard him scream," but there are other people there who can corroborate that story. But you're right. I just hearing that, if I heard someone got shot with that rifle in the chest like that, it does surprise me that they were able to scream, but that's what happened. So the police are contacted, which in this case are the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And when they show up, they see that Mary Beth is very upset.
She's in hysterics, and she's trying to explain to them that she thought she was shooting a bear. They were hunting bear. She was expecting a bear to come out of the woods. So she fired the shot. And apparently, the Canadian Mounted Police, they believed her. They didn't see anything out of sorts here. And they took it as a terrible hunting accident. But September 16th, they went back out and performed a reenactment of the shooting in those same conditions. So this is just 2 days later. They're out there and they're just checking what was the light like, where was she positioned, where was Mark's body found, and they're trying to use the same scope, the same gun, everything, to just make sure that this makes sense and her story pans out.
You would think if the findings were in her favor, that would have been it. End of story. Terrible accident.
So, Aaron, what are their findings?
Their findings were, it's inconclusive. There's no way to really know whether this was on purpose or an accident. Law enforcement wants to get this right. And since they've done this reenactment, and it is so close, so near that time where they could no longer legally hunt, I mean, should she have taken that shot? That is not in her favor, because now it's a real question.
But within hours of the shooting, it said Beth displayed some weird behaviors. She just seemed off. And her first call wasn't even to family members. It was to Bill Ive. He was the contractor that was building their new home. And she told Bill that there had been an accident. And Bill thought, well, a traffic accident? And she said, no, the truck is fine. And Bill said, well, what happened? And Mary Beth replied, I shot Mark. Now, this is called into question because she didn't call family. She called the guy that's building their house. But honestly, Aaron, I don't know. Maybe she was pretty close with Bill and she thought she needed to explain it to him before anyone else.
Well, for me, it's not that big of a deal because she's just shot her husband. There has to be some shock involved if it's an accident. Maybe she's acting strangely because of that. And maybe that's what's been on her mind the most. If you think about it, she's about to get a new home. That's got to be a major thing going on in her life at the time. So who does she think of first? She thinks about the home builder.
Now, once Mary Beth returns home, her best friend, Amy Robinson, tries to, you know, talk to her and be supportive. And Mary Beth is pretty cold and shut off, which, hey, I've been kind of shut off for the last couple of weeks. I get it.
But Amy does remain supportive because she says that coldness, it's probably just a defense mechanism.
The death of your husband or the death of anyone, you're not exactly feeling social at that point.
There are further examples of her odd behavior, but again, I don't know that it's fair to Mary Beth to go through all of these things and say, oh, well, she's acting cold toward this person, or she's acting irritated if someone says, do you need help? I mean, again, this is a major event that completely shocks the life of Mary Beth as well as the children, losing Mark in that manner. You know, it's, I think about that. When you have someone who's an avid hunter and they accidentally shoot and kill somebody, they've now ended the life of someone while doing something they love. It has to be a very powerful, strange, and upsetting experience.
Now, there is a conversation between Bill, the contractor who was building their dream home, and Barry, Mark's brother. He kind of made it seem like Mark knew he wasn't returning from this trip. This is a little foreboding here because, according to Bill, Mark seemed to have reservations about this trip, right?
Well, I would say several people knew about his reservations, but it's really difficult to pinpoint what that meant. Probably felt like, well, it was just the expense of it all. They are building a new home. Why spend another 10 grand or whatever it ended up being? There are those who believe that Mark was nervous about going because, well, he made a joke to one person that Mary was probably going to shoot him on the trip, but at least it would be a quick death, something to that effect. It's just really, you know, it's, you can really know somebody, but when they tell you something and you're not really expecting it, you never know how you're going to take it. And if you can't follow up later to say, hey, was that really a joke? You don't really know.
And it's around the same time that Mark's brother, Barry, ends a 26-year relationship with his wife, Linda. Barry will end up moving in with Mary Beth and the kids. So on one side, I just think, well, maybe he's just trying to be supportive. On the other side, maybe this event connected them and they started a relationship soon after. But during Barry's divorce proceedings with his wife, he admitted to having a sexual relationship with Mary Beth. He doesn't really say if that relationship started before the shooting. It really makes it sound like it started after the shooting.
I have my own thoughts on this. And it's really just because Barry was making strange comments after he got back, saying Mark knew who he was going into the woods with. Comments like that make me think he's not being supportive of Mary Beth necessarily. But then not long after he gets back from the trip, he tells his wife Linda that he's leaving and he immediately moves in with Mary Beth. I mean, this is just me reading into it that Mary Beth must have moved on him during the trip and really moved on him after. And she must be very convincing because that marriage fell apart real quick. So whatever happened, Mary Beth is being very manipulative, it seems like, which doesn't help her case either. But this is something that happened.
And at this point, obviously, Mary Beth has pretty much cut herself out of Mark's family, alienated a lot of different family members, and has even instructed her children not to speak to Mark's side of the family, which this could be considered just family drama. But another piece that people bring up is she had Mark's body cremated almost immediately, and she didn't allow Mark's family to see his body. But she is the spouse. She gets the say in what she does. And the way Mark was killed, maybe it wouldn't be appropriate to have a viewing of his body. But again, the time frame of how fast she had him cremated and whether or not she showed any respect for Mark's side of the family, well, maybe she's a bad person. But we already know that he was shot through the heart with a hunting rifle. There's no amount of autopsy that's going to change that or prove that this was intentional or accidental. So I think this is could be considered a jerky move on her behalf, but it doesn't prove anything.
Right. But for those who are suspicious of Mary Beth, they'll say guilty.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles, and immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
But really what happens here, Justin, is because Mary Beth is shutting the Harshbarger family out, except for Barry, of course, they are really feeling like this was all done on purpose. She had set this up. She was the one who wanted to go on this trip. She insisted. And even after Mark was not so sure that it could happen, she's the one that got the price lowered. So now they're going to the Royal Mounted Canadian Police and they're saying, Mary Beth did this. She did it on purpose and we want her charged. So they start gathering whatever evidence that they can. And one of those things is because they did those reenactments, they have some sort of an idea of what she would have seen when she looked through the scope. And I get the feeling that because the evidence showed that she would have seen at best a blob, because Mark was wearing blue, like a blue shirt and blue jeans type of dress, that she shouldn't have shot at all. You know, and she can say all she wants that she was distracted and she was competitive because her husband had already gotten a bear the day before that wasn't very impressive, from what I understand, that she wanted to one-up him and she saw something bigger than what he had shot. So she took her shot and, well, she killed her husband. But this all adds up to, yeah, they think they can maybe charge her with criminal negligence.
I understand when hunting, you're supposed to ID your target. You're supposed to identify what you're shooting before you pull that trigger. Now, does this translate to homicide or criminal negligence? And that's what the Canadian Mounted Police, that's what the RCMP have to figure out.
One of her biggest critics was Mark's dad. And he said he can't accept that this was a hunting accident. He knows about hunting. He knew that the grass there was about 5 foot tall. And he knew his son was more than 6 foot. I think he was 6'2". So he said there should have been enough of a shape there for her to know that that wasn't a bear. And bears don't walk out on their hind legs. So he's just utterly convinced that she did this on purpose. And he went on to say that Mary Beth had Mark increase his life insurance substantially. I mean, we're talking from, what was it, like 100,000 to 500 some thousand?
Yeah, I think it was 150 to 550.
That's a pretty good increase, but I mean, if you're on her side, you would just say that's what people do. I know I increase my life insurance over time. It's not really that crazy, but that is kind of a jump. I've never increased it like that.
This is the thing. Anytime we cover a husband did it situation, when the husband increases their wife's life insurance policy by hundreds of thousands or $1 million, and then she ends up dead a week later, that looks horrible. The optics on that are, this was planned. But upping life insurance policies does happen every day. So how does this weigh out?
Well, in 2007, September of 2007, the RCMP conduct a second reenactment. And this time, they're much more sure that it was just too dark to hunt. So they can see where maybe she thought she was shooting at a bear, but they really concluded that it was just too dark. No shot should have been taken, especially by someone with that much hunting experience. They should have known better.
Yeah, that means criminal negligence or more of an accidental manslaughter type death as opposed to homicide.
Mary Beth has an attorney. He was quoted as saying, "They are unwilling to accept the fact that it was an accident, and as a consequence, the investigation has continued." He also added that if it wasn't an accident, that the RCMP would never have let Mary Beth leave the country if they really thought that this was all intentional. And so it seems like Mary Beth starts to go on the attack. She sues for insurance in April of 2008 over Mark's shooting death. Because it was considered an accident, you know, there's a real question here on the policies. But she sues the two life insurance companies for $550,000 in death benefits. She was the sole beneficiary. But of course, the law in Pennsylvania, if you don't know, says a person cannot benefit from an intentional wrongdoing.
Yeah. So the insurance companies will hold payment until your trial is, you know, resolved.
It's on April 30th. This is just 12 days after she sues the insurance companies. April 30th, 2008, Mary Beth was charged in Mark's death. The RCMP in Newfoundland had issued an arrest warrant. They charged her with criminal negligence causing death and 2, careless use of a firearm. So what do they need to do, Justin, to bring her in?
Well, they're going to have to extradite her. And that's going to take some time.
It does. And it becomes a big deal. We'll put it that way. I don't know that I'd want to cover it at length because it's frankly kind of boring.
You know, the Canadian magistrate has to find probable cause. They have to issue this certificate of extradition. And of course, Mary Beth is going to fight that. And America, you know, the U.S. government isn't just going to hand over its citizens willy-nilly. So they're actually on your side in situations like this. So Mary Beth is going to try to leverage the United States government to protect her from extradition. But by March 4th, 2009, the U.S. judge ordered that the governor's request for extradition to Newfoundland be granted. So she is lost and she needs to go surrender herself and be transported back to Canada.
If you're one of those that thinks Mary Beth is guilty or should at least be put through a trial, then that U.S. magistrate judge, Malachi Mannion, well, he's a hero. But if you think they're making a big to-do over nothing because she lost her husband and it was all an accident, this is a terrible situation. So one thing we haven't talked about, Justin, though, was this hunting guide, Lambert Green. He was there, and he would have been walking with Mark, save for the fact that he had to stop to urinate. and he also heard a shot and a scream. He said he was about 60 meters from Mary Beth. He basically supports her story because he had talked with Mark, and Mark described Mary Beth as the love of his life, essentially, that he was very, very happy to have met her and married her. And so from his opinion, he thinks this was just a terrible accident.
And when you talk about high grass that's almost 5 foot tall, when you're going through grass like that, you're not standing up straight. You might be a little hunched over. You're going through this wildlife. You're going through a wooded area. You're going through tall grass. So was he standing up straight? Would you have been able to identify him? And even this guide is saying, looks like he was hunched over. And from the shot, you know, I don't know if anyone could have known what they were shooting at.
But then again, there's that argument, Justin. If you don't know what you're shooting at, should you be shooting it? Mary Beth filed a motion to stay. She's filing petitions. The courts basically say, we'll just give you more time, but they're not really going to let her get away. This is something that needs to get sorted out. April 26, 2010, the U.S. Department of State issued a surrender warrant for Mary Beth Harshbarger for her return to Canada. This is all under the treaty.
By the end of this legal melee, the Crown withdrew some of the charges, but kept the specific charge that she was facing extradition for, and that was criminal negligence causing death. And they threw out carelessness, use of a firearm, and, you know, little things like that. But the criminal negligence causing death, that is the most serious one, so that's all she's going to be charged with. She was denied bail initially, and, you know, they told her that she represented a flight risk. Now, I have problems with this, Aaron. You're fighting your extradition because that's what you're supposed to do. You're fighting for all these things that are, you know, due to you, you know, whether it be an insurance payout or whatnot, but that's all used against her. And they're saying, well, because you're doing all these things and you're a U.S. citizen, you are considered a flight risk. I mean, it goes both ways, right?
Right. But again, everything that she does, depending on who you are, can be seen as, well, that's what you do, or no, that means she's guilty. She was granted bail. You said she was at first denied, but later she was granted bail on June 8, 2010. Her bail had been set for $200,000. This kind of concerns his family, the Harshbarger family, because they think she's got the means to post bail, and they're not sure that she's going to face justice here.
She does face justice. She does go before a court, and it's on June 25th, 2010, she'll enter a plea of not guilty.
And that's partially because she had remained in custody. So, Justin, we'd already talked about how Barry was the only Harshbarger family member that was in Mary Beth's corner, literally. When he spoke to CBC News Canada, he actually talked about why she didn't post bail. And it's because he said she had money, but it was pretty much tied up in long-term investments. And they also talked about, well, if she stays in custody, that can count towards her time if she is to get time. So she would be out earlier.
And in Canada, you get like double credit. You know, before your trial, if you spent 100 days in jail, you get credit for 200 days.
What did he have to say about this whole situation? After all, it was his brother who was shot and killed.
Barry, he says that he believes Mary Beth is guilty of not confirming her target. And he thinks that that level of negligence is minimal. Barry is saying that she did not mean to murder her husband, but she did make a mistake. Now, they talked to Lambert Green, who was the guide that day, and he will go up and testify that he was helping Mark look for bears, and he heard a loud scream. Green, who had stopped to urinate at the time, told the court that he called out to Mary Beth, who was back at the couple's pickup truck, and he yelled, "Did you shoot your rifle?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "What did you shoot at?" And she immediately responded, "I shot at a bear. Did I get him?" Lambert said, "No, you got Mark." He continued to testify that he found Mark lying face down on the ground. He said he turned Mark over, checked him for vital signs. He walked back to the truck, and Mary Beth asked if Mark was okay, and he said, "No, he's dead." And he verifies that Mary Beth became hysterical and was screaming, "I shot my husband, I shot my love."
It makes you wonder, because when you hear the story elsewhere, it sounds like she said, "I shot my love," almost immediately because of the scream. But now Lambert Green testifies, he makes it sound like she didn't do that until after they spoke. So I find this kind of curious. I mean, did she recognize her husband's scream? Was she in denial? What's the truth here? It still feels very, very strange.
I mean, I think when it's a high tension situation like that, people are going to remember it differently. And she doesn't remember asking about the bear and being told it was her husband. And that, it just seems like an unimportant conversation that she might not remember to me.
This had a profound effect on Lambert Green, because he said that because of this incident, he now insists that people that go hunting with him wear orange vests, wear some sort of safety attire so that they can be spotted at a distance by humans.
And that was something, Aaron, that I was shocked by. I just assumed that everyone wore the orange vests, you know, to identify themselves. I didn't realize that you couldn't do that. So, yeah.
And he also says that he has to remain with them. There is no stopping to urinate. And he was talking about when they were doing the recreation, that he looked through the scope of a rifle at that distance, which was about 200 feet to the target. And he said it was just too dark to tell what he was looking at for sure. So he said, when you're not sure of your target, you don't risk a shot. Now, we've said that before, but this is the guide saying this. And he was the one who had essentially stuck up for Mary Beth. But once again, we keep coming back to that. She shouldn't have pulled the trigger.
Exactly. They brought an RCMP officer up to testify. His name was Corporal Doug Hewitt. He supervised the reenactment and the lighting conditions. And again, it was plausible she had mistaken her husband for a bear. He testified, "However, I don't know why anyone would fire given the lighting conditions. And even with that rifle scope, I couldn't pick out any definite shape except for a black mass." And apparently this scope that was mounted on the rifle was a light gathering scope, which is supposed to illuminate your target a little bit more for help you aim and clear the shot.
They make a big deal out of this, but when they had searched the area after Mark was shot, they couldn't find any signs that any animal had been in that area. I don't know why they make a big deal out of this. Do you know why?
I think they're saying there weren't any animals, so you should have known that this wasn't a bear. Hindsight 2020, but it doesn't work because you're hunting bear and you're expecting bear. Just because there isn't any bear there doesn't mean that you would have known that. But it's ammo that's being used against Mary Beth because they're saying, well, there weren't any animals around, so you should have known better.
Yeah, I don't think it works because she stayed in the truck. She didn't go down that way. That's what her husband and the guide did. They went down that way. I mean, I don't recall that they kept giving her reports of, oh, we're not seeing any tracks. So I just think this is just an odd bit of information to me.
Now, there was an autopsy performed, and it was confirmed that Mark had died from one gunshot wound to his abdomen. It appears that Mark was leaning over when he was struck by the bullet. So not standing up straight, not above the grass line. I mean, this actually works for Mary Beth as far as she didn't know what she was shooting at. And this right here, Aaron, if you don't know what you're shooting at, then how do you prove that she meant to shoot Mark? Because it could have been the guide. It could have been, you know, Barry. It could have been anyone out there. So at this point, I'm looking at this and thinking, he was leaned over. If she couldn't identify a bear, then she wouldn't be able to identify if this was her husband or someone else either.
And that's where this case takes a bit of a turn, don't you think?
Yeah.
When you put that all together, like you just said, if she's looking through a scope and we had people doing reenactments in the same lighting conditions and they can't identify exactly what they're shooting at, how does she know she's shooting her husband? It's a major turn in this case, I think.
Now, in order to prove malice, in order to prove you intentionally did this, you have to talk about someone's state of mind before or after the shooting. And they brought on Stephen Mulrooney, who worked as a cook at the lodge. And they asked him, you know, what was her behavior like? And she had arrived at the lodge less than 30 minutes after the shooting. So he's looking at this and saying, it seems that she was very remorseful here. And she was behaving erratically when she got back, as if she just felt horrible about what she'd done. But that night, he said that Mary Beth seemed more calm and said that she looked agitated and a little upset. But how are you going to read into that, you know?
Complicated emotions.
Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Quince. Do you need to upgrade your wardrobe or home essentials at an unbeatable price? Well, Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style, and you'll have them in your closet forever. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% off less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that are safe, ethical, with responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. How can you not love that? I recently got a duvet cover and a pair of awesome relaxed jeans. They're stretchy too. You can find all kinds of stuff at Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/GenY for free shipping on your first order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/GenY to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/GenY.
September 23rd, 2010, Crown Prosecutor Karen O'Reilly summed up the case. And she said that Mary Beth didn't take the proper safety precautions before pulling the trigger of her rifle. She said it was up to Mary Beth to determine with certainty that she was shooting a bear that evening. She went on to say, the duty here is that there has to be no doubt before you pull the trigger. So if Mary Beth really was sure it was a bear, she should have ensured the area around it was clear and no one else was at risk. She finished by saying, the Crown has empathy for Mrs. Harshbarger, but that doesn't change the standard of care we're going to hold her to. I'm sure at this point, Justin, many people probably look at this and say, she killed somebody. She shouldn't be pulling the trigger.
Yeah, and they're charging her with criminal negligence, which carries between 5 years and life. So the way this prosecutor talks, you're thinking, uh-oh, yeah, they're going to nail her to the wall.
Justice Richard LeBlanc made the decision in this case. He was from the Supreme Court of Newfoundland and Labrador. What was his decision in this case?
He found Mary Beth not guilty of criminal negligence causing death. Now, that might be surprising for a lot of people. That might be a shock to some. It might seem like justice to others. He referred to Mark's death as the result of an accident and nothing more. Now, we've covered at least one, maybe other, you know, a few other cases where, like that Tex case where he shot his wife from the backseat of the SUV. You know, we've covered other cases where I think people either did it intentionally or were just so dumb that they deserve punishment. But in this case, depends on the day. I might have a different feeling about it. But after she's found not guilty, Mary Beth was silent and she left the courthouse without saying anything. And when her lawyer was questioned what she's going to do next, the lawyer responded, she just wants to see her kids.
There's some understanding here. And so you have this justice saying, this is an accident. She's not guilty. That's it. So it doesn't matter really if we think Mary Beth did this on purpose or not. We can look back at the insurance. We can look back that there were some issues between the couple, that he had said, she's going to shoot me. At least it'll be a quick death. That he didn't want to go on this trip in the first place. And they, oh, and add in Barry Harshbarger, Mark's brother, hooks up with her immediately after. But you can flip all that around. You can say people always increase life insurance over time. You can say she was grasping for someone to help her because she's suddenly without her husband. So there's his brother. And that's how that started, that there was no setup beforehand.
You know, it's said that she was hostile, violent, and she raised the life insurance policy. Those two things alone typically make me think you're guilty. If you are a domestic violence abuser and you raise somebody's life insurance, then yeah, you should be investigated if your spouse dies. Because those two things are red flags for me. But in this case, I'm looking at this and I think, what if she did mean to kill him? How could you prove that? You can't. It's almost impossible because they're on a hunting trip. They're doing what they're doing. You know, and then when you look at the criminal negligence charge, well, criminal negligence is, would any reasonable person have not done this? So if you're driving your car at 100 miles per hour and you run it into a crowd of people, well, maybe you didn't mean to run your car into a crowd of people, but any reasonable person wouldn't have been driving at that speed. Any reasonable person would have taken precautions to not cause this accident. So that's why it's criminal negligence. So take the situation they're in. They are hunting. She is looking to shoot a bear. Husband is out there trying to flush the bear out of the woods. In that context, would any reasonable person not pull that trigger? That's a hard one. You're in the moment. You're hunting. You know, and that's the difference between criminal or accidental. You know, what was this person thinking? Did they intend to do this? Would any reasonable person known better and not taken the risk? And in this case, I think that's a hard argument to make because some people, they're hunting. They're in that moment. They're going to pull that trigger. They should have ID'd the target. It's not such gross negligence. It's not like she just started shooting aimlessly into the woods. It's not like she had one of her children load the rifle for her. You know, it's not like she did something that was totally outlandish. So if you do think she murdered her husband, well, then this is the perfect murder. This is how you get away with it. You set up a scenario where you could accidentally kill somebody. And unless you literally wrote out a piece of paper like, I murdered my husband, or talked to somebody and told them that, you get away with it. When her husband made the comment, the joke, well, she's a great shot. You know, at least it'll be quick. I think I've joked about being murdered by friends and family and my wife 100 times. So how do you take that?
Well, I'll throw in one more thing. He was supposed to be accompanied by Lambert Green. There was no plan for him to be wandering around by himself. I mean, up until shortly before he came out into the grass, he was accompanied by Lambert. It just so happened that Lambert had to stop and he had to take a quick break. And so Mark was moving on by himself. That was not anything that was planned. So the question would be, well, let's say Lambert was with him. Would she have just still shot her husband and said, oh, I didn't notice anyone else? It worked out too well. And that's just something that was all chance. I remember when I talked to you about it, at one point you said, I don't know if she just looked through that scope, figured that it was her husband, and took the shot. There's no way to know. And that's possible because, again, he was with a guide. If they really wanted to set it up where he could have been shot, it would have been just Mark going out there to flush out the moose or the bear for her to get a kill that day. But how did it happen? It was just Mark. That's just luck.
Bad luck.
Justin, there's been one update that we need to talk about. In 2011, Barry obtained a temporary protection against abuse order pertaining to Mary Beth. Why is that?
Barry says, I am in fear for my life. And he said that she exhibited violent tendencies between her past and her current threats. And that Mary Beth threatened him by, wait for it, pointing a loaded rifle at him. Now, does that turn everything on its head here? Does that mean that she did murder her husband? Or does this just mean that she is a very unstable person? She probably needs to be in therapy and probably doesn't need to be around firearms right now.
A judge made a decision, though. He concluded that these claims by Barry were exaggerations, and he dismissed the order.
You know, Aaron, I guess all I can leave with is this was a hunting accident, and you can look at the scenario. You can say, well, it was kind of dark. You know, you can look at where he was in tall grass, and I just think of, I don't know, one of our vice presidents shooting his buddy in the face with a shotgun. You know, I could make a Dick Cheney joke, but it might not hit the mark.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen ad-free. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.